Good morning. I want to start with something a little fun, a little funny, and a whole lot heartwarming this morning. Dick shared with me a story, and I have one of my own. Obviously, are there about grandchildren, you know this. But apparently, Vivian was praying the other day, and she was said these are wonderful little theologians. She was praying and she was thanking God for all of the blessings, for everything that God has done, everything God has given us, and then proceeded to tell God that God did not have to worry because Jesus was going to rise again. And so that as Dick said, that is something good for us to remember. Put worry on that back burner because we have a risen Lord. And then Morgan has been sick. And so Molly and I were talking on FaceTime the other day. And I just said, Molly, I'm going to say a prayer for I'll be saying a prayer for Morgan. She said, say one now. And I said, well, okay. And I started to say something. And she said, dear God, make my baby sister better. Amen. And that's it. It's like, why wait to pray? Let's just do it. And so, it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And when we think about the prophet Micah saying, what does the Lord require of me? To seek justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. You will hear more about that a little bit later. Take a moment to look into your bulletins, and also take a moment to glance around. We have some visitors in our midst, and we are glad you are here. You're not really like a visitor, Patty. You're just part of the family, and we are glad that you are here. But please take note of those others who are here and make sure you make them feel welcomed. Turn off your cell phones. If you don't mind doing that, we would appreciate it. In the bulletin, you will find a plethora of things dealing with the season of Lent as we draw closer and closer to that. And so you are invited to take that, to put them on your calendar, do what you can. Even with the sermon series, if you can't come to all of those, that is perfectly fine. They are standalone. And so we would be happy for you to come to any of those. And if you got your newsletter, I don't know if any of you have ever done this before, but during the season of Lent, starting on Ash Wednesday, we will be giving you words, and we are asking you to do several things. When you see that word, what picture comes to mind? You know, if it's you go outside and you take a picture and you say, this reminds me of mercy, or this reminds me of kindness, or this reminds me of death. But take those pictures and share them on Facebook, and then share them with your friends so that together we can be helping not only our congregation walk through this season of Lent, but to maybe help others, some of your friends, your neighbors, and others as we walk through them. It doesn't have to be a picture. It can be a word. It can be a poem. It can be a verse. But the whole thing is, let's really share on Facebook what we are walking through together during this season of Lent. The other bulletins you see, our announcements you see in your bulletin, one that Fred made me aware of, on Saturday, February 22nd at 7 p.m. at First Presbyterian Church Garland, they have a woman who is like a musician in residence, I believe is how they say it, and she is offering a concert that evening. Her name is Aurelia Drake, and it's French for everyone. And she is saying that this is a musical celebration of worship across the generations, across ethnic groups across all of those things. So if you're looking for a wonderful worship experience on February 22nd at 7 p.m., we are invited to go to First Pres Garland. Our prayer concerns, you see in your bulletin. We did learn early this morning that Lewis is back in the hospital here. Went to the emergency room last night. I talked to Vicki at about 8 o'clock. He is doing much better. The fever has gone down, and so we continue to pray for him. We knew all along this was a temporary stint, and so they're waiting to put the new in. This may be reason to do that at this time, but please continue to keep Lewis and Vicki in your prayers. And then Janice handed me this morning a friend of hers that has worked with her with horses and at the barn passed away, and his name is Darold Stiffham. DaroldStiffman, and so we keep them in our prayers, and we continue to keep Derek Pollard as well as all of our members. Our youth, Jesse and Coy, Gary, Kayla, Jordan and Katie, Hannah West, Eastminster, and Friends of Eastminster were represented well at Chicey. They will be, as a matter of fact, they are doing worship right now. They will finish up. So as all of those young people travel back home, we keep them in our prayers. As we begin this day of worship, we do so with thanksgiving. And one of the best ways to offer thanksgiving is through a psalm of praise. And so I ask you to join me in prayer as we begin with this psalm. Praise the Lord.
I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Prepare your words to the Lord. Study by all who delight in him. Full of honor and majesty is his word, and his righteousness endures forever.
He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He sent redemption to his people, and he has commanded his covenant forever.
Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise is
yours forever. God of unending mercies, forgive our willingness to settle for a faith that rests on shifting
sand, rather than live out the firm, foundational faith to which we have been called, the faith that shows us kindness and humility. Hear our prayers, O God, and make us more like you.
We know that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. We know that God's grace overcomes all of our selfishness. We know that God's grace and mercy overcome all of our lovelessness. And so we give thanks that in Jesus Christ we have received also that gift of God's mercy. In Jesus Christ, you and I have been saved. Thanks be to God.
Join in your hearts and in prayer. Through your holy scriptures, open your eyes to see our Creator's glory. Open our ears to hear our teacher's wisdom. Open our hands to offer our comforter's gifts. Open our mouths to sing our triune God's praise. And open our hearts to offer our Redeemer's love. This is our prayer offered in the name of our Lord. Amen. The Old Testament reading today is in your pew Bible, page 866, Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord and enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised. What Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give him my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.
Thank you.
The New Testament lesson from Matthew, the 5th chapter, the first 12 verses, are no doubt some of the most memorable words in all of Scripture. And so I ask you to listen to them as if the Lord is teaching you, teaching me, teaching us. This is what Jesus preaches. When Jesus saw the crowd, he went up the mountains, and after he had sat down, the disciples came to him. And then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. But rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way that they persecuted the prophets who came before you." Thanks be to God that we are blessed indeed. Amen.
Thank you. Jesus preaches, applaud the poor in spirit, cheer the mourners, favor the meek, smile upon the hungry, honor the merciful, welcome the pure in heart, clap for the peacemakers, rise to greet those who are persecuted. As people of faith, as followers of Christ, our life is about listening to, it is about learning from, and it is about living out what Jesus preached, and it's about walking. It is about walking toward God, walking with Jesus, and then walking out in the confidence of the Spirit as we go out into the world. I sure wish there was some sort of app that would monitor that kind of walking, but I'm pretty sure I would have to up my spiritual walking steps. Walking the spiritual journey, as we know, has never, ever, ever been advertised as being an easy walk of life, but it has been tested and experienced by the Lord Himself, who has already walked His way back to God for us. And as you and I know, the best kind of guide is someone who has already been down a path. And so Jesus gave us this wonderful map for walking back into that intimate, into that closer relationship with God. And we call them the Beatitudes, the blessings. The message at the heart of these blessings is this: you who believe yourselves to be so near to God, you better keep walking. And you who feel yourself distant, turn, because the path to God is just right there in front of you. Again, God's great balancing act. We are no better, we are no worse, we are all blessed as God's children. The Beatitudes are about a world turned upside down in order that we can be right side up, the way that our Creator intended us to be. And the Beatitudes are asking the questions that the prophet Micah asked many, many, many years ago. What does the Lord require of us? It's been said that this question is one of those questions about life, those big questions that come in the Bible, like, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to be saved? What is the key to abundant life? What does the Lord require of me? What should I do? How can I be in a right relationship with God? It's a big question. I think the prophet Micah answers it so succinctly that it would make one of those perfect tweets in our present day world. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. The way to a right relationship with God is to be in a right relationship with our neighbors. Unfortunately, in Jesus' time, that the people were still trying to figure out this greatest commandment and what to do with it. Matthew's audience, as we know, were Jewish Christians who were in the middle of a world that needed to be turned right side up because it was topsy-turvy. They, as young Christians, were under the microscope, and they were being persecuted just because they professed Jesus as Lord. And I think this is a timely message for us in our day and age, when it seems like our Christian faith, when it seems like following Jesus seems to sort of be shrinking before our eyes. But here's the hope. Discipleship did not die out then. Discipleship is not going to die out now. It's kind of like Vivian saying, until God decides that discipleship is done, it is not done. The Lord is living. Here in these words about this disciplined way of living, we have a great lesson for staying power when we fear that things are falling down for our faith. We could call it discipleship 101. Jesus lays that groundwork for us, for character, for attitude, for the commitment that is required to be a follower, and it is an all-in kind of deal. We are required to fully commit when we follow. There are those things that are just absolutely non-negotiables in Jesus' teaching: to seek justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly in the footsteps of our Lord, and more. And then Jesus says, when you do these, blessed are you, and you are to be a blessing. And Jesus also says, when you do this, you will have a glad heart. A glad heart. The people of Jesus' time, of our time, still wrestling with balancing those non-negotiables that the prophet Micah had spoken about. But the teachings of Jesus from his childhood, the Torah, were so written upon Jesus' heart that his sermon just becomes this teaching moment from his heart as much as it is about preaching to the people. And it's no surprise that Jesus would begin a sermon with, blessed are. Blessed are. The shocker for that time, though, was the content. Who was going to be blessed for doing what? Theologian Reinhard Niebuhr said, it seems that the Beatitudes just don't fit into the real world. And he called them the impossible possibilities. And yet, out of Jesus' mouth, he teaches, he preaches, he lives out this transforming lesson. There are so many interpretations of Scripture now. I am grateful that we as Presbyterian clergy are required to take the languages that we have to, Hebrew and Greek. Remembering them after we leave school is a whole different story. And every single day I am thankful for commentaries. But there is this actual biblical Greek word that means blessed. And it is always connected to God. It is a blessing from God. But Matthew doesn't use that word here. He uses a word that plays off of something that is sort of happy or something that is glad. Happy are the glad of heart. Happy are the happy. Well, if we take that word and we turn it into something less than blessed, if we turn it in just to blessed our God, we will have happy thoughts now. Blessed our God, we are going to be glad all of the time. Then we miss the mark of what this original writer had. We are not to be looking for self-help books and things that give us happy thoughts, which are not bad, they're okay. But what Jesus is teaching us is that to have a glad heart in the way that he means it, we have to go deeper than that. Happiness is not just a moment in time for Jesus. It is about an attitude. It is about an all-in attitude of having this glad heart. And it's not something that we can reap as some kind of reward because we go and we check off these little blessing box and we've done this and so, oh, we should be blessed now. It is about already being blessed and sharing those blessings with others out of thanksgiving for God. In a nutshell, Jesus preached that in order for the world to turn back to God, to be blessed, to have this glad heart, we need to listen, we need to learn, and we need to live out these guiding principles of discipleship. While material and spiritual poverty are connected, Jesus is preaching something different. We know this. He is preaching about being poor in spirit. The shock of that principle to those who were listening during that time was that that is where God wants us to be. God wants us to be poor in spirit. And our hearts are made glad when we realize that life ends and happens, and everything, life begins, life ends, and everything in between happens because God loves us right here, right now on this earth. We're not supposed to be saving up, checking off, working toward those blessings because we're going to have some kind of heavenly kingdom later on. To be a disciple of Jesus, to be poor in spirit, means that we do not rely upon ourselves, but on the good, unending, ever-present grace of God. And there's no doubt that Jesus is with us during our times of mourning, whether that's a death, an illness, a separation. But the suffering that he's talking about here is suffering for our faith. Living a life that is counter to what the cultural norms are, where justice and mercy and kindness do take front seat. Where we mourn because the world is doing just the opposite of that, because the world is being unjust and ugly and mean and hateful and violent. To be a disciple of Jesus, to mourn, means that yes, we are sorrowful for injustices, for merciless acts, for unkindnesses, but we don't let ourselves fall into that trap of the world and buy into them. There's a saying, a cartoon in Stephen Ministries that reminds those who are helping that it does you no good when someone is in a pit to get down in the pit with them, because neither one of you can get out. Jesus is saying, don't get down in that pit with them. Stay here and I will help you. Our hearts are made glad when we let others know above all else that Jesus gives us hope for a different kind of living. And he preached that meekness is about actually spiritual strength. It's about having faith and trust enough, excuse me, to wait on God's will and God's timing, not ours. And it's that kind of meekness that we have to give up. We have to give up that perception that we are in control. To be a disciple, to walk as Jesus walks, means that we believe that meekness is absolutely anything but weakness. It means knowing that we are not God, that we are not in charge, that we don't have all the answers. And more often than not, it means that we don't know what's best for others, but we trust that Jesus does. But to do all of that, to learn how to be meek, to learn how to be poor in spirit, requires that we listen, we learn, and we live as Jesus did. And humbly, is how God has chosen to walk with us in the person of Jesus Christ. In his time on earth, Jesus stood tall, not because he was making people cringe. He had power, but he used it to empower others. He healed without any strings attached. He competed with none. He loved all. And even when the least of those were unlovable, he was willing to go to the cross for us. Righteousness means being right with God, to be reconciled, to be redeemed, to have our relationship restored. And that is exactly what Jesus preached. To live a life full of thanksgiving, to have our hearts glad always for the blessings that we have received through God, and more importantly, the blessing of salvation through Jesus Christ. We do that, disciples of Jesus, and he says our hearts will have absolutely no choice but to be glad. If you're like me, when something is tugging at my heart so intensely that it gets me in the gut, it can't be ignored. You've heard me say this before. The seat of emotion for the Hebrew people is not the head, it's not the heart, it's the gut, it's the belly. We are called to do justice, love kindness, to walk humbly with our God, so much so that we feel it in our guts when we're not doing it. Doing that brings us into the kind of purity that Jesus talks about, a trust in God so full and so complete and so pure that our bellies, our hearts, our heads, our lives get involved. To live as Jesus lives requires that our entire being acts as he did, speaks as he did, and does as he did. It is an all-out, all-in kind of living. And I think sometimes we gloss over the Beatitudes. They are those wonderful little, that wonderful little sermon that Jesus gave that remind us that, yes, we are blessed, but we don't dig deep enough to understand those blessings are countercultural to what we most often know. For those who show mercy, who show unexpected compassion, forgiveness, understanding, generosity, for those whose hearts are, along with their whole being, being blessed, made whole by God, that is when we have those unexpected mercies that come to us that we did not expect, that we did not envision, that sometimes we really don't even know how to grab hold of. But God says, grab them and then throw them back out. Don't ever hold a blessing just for you. This blessing to be a blessing is how Jesus, through us, his disciples, turns the world upside down. And our world needs to be turned upside down. It's out of that mercy, then, that is birthed peace, because our hearts are no longer divided. We aren't up against one another. We are united in love and peace. It's the kind of peace that God wanted for us from the very beginning of time. It's the kind of peace that Jesus preaches, the kind that he lives. And last but not least, our hearts are made glad when we do the God right thing. Not simply for our own spiritual well-being, but when we do it for the sake of all. Walking with Jesus won't always be popular. You and I most likely walk in a world where Christianity is the norm, and we don't feel that kind of anxiousness and that fear sometimes. But it's there. And more now than ever, we who are Christians need to remind others that to stand up for Jesus will help turn that fear, turn that anxiety, and move us back to the kind of peace that God wants. Doing right as God sees right, embracing spiritual poverty and mournfulness, meekness, righteousness, justice, mercy, purity, they are at best discipleship 101, period. So when someone says, what does it look like to be a disciple? Go back to Jesus' teaching and show people that a disciple lives the way God lives, not as the world does. If we want to keep track of our spiritual steps, If we want to daily walk to that center of strength that we find in our triune God, we have to walk back. We have to walk determined that we are going to turn our lives around toward Jesus. Do this, Jesus preaches, and I will make you disciples with glad hearts. And thanks be to God that Jesus also preaches, blessed are you, blessed am I, blessed are we. Amen.
When we affirm our faith, we voice our trust in God, in Jesus, and in the Holy Spirit. We live out that affirmation. We invite others to place their trust in our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. May we find strength in our faith as we together stand, saying what we believe in. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe in God, the Holy Ghost?
I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, the Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Please be seated.
It is out of compassion that God calls us to be part of a family of faith. And so this morning, may the gifts that we bring be expressions of our thanksgiving, and may they, through prayer and through God's timing and God's will, be used to touch those who need to know that reconciling love of God in Jesus Christ. May we receive God's tithes and our offerings.
City, hallelujah.
Receive our gifts as we seek to walk in your way, where justice is sought. Use these gifts to bring Christ's liberating word. Where there is pain, may they bring the healing of Christ's love, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Jesus calls us to the table today. He invites us to come, and he reminds us that we are accepted for just who we are. He invites us to come because every one of us is beautiful and deeply flawed. We are poor in spirit, we are pure in heart, and yet it is with that understanding that Jesus still invites us to come and share a meal. So here at the table, as on the mountain, Jesus teaches us that the meaning of human life is radically different than what the world relentlessly tries to tell us. We are ultimately defined not defined by how much we have, whether that's wealth or power or influence. We are not defined by how beautiful or handsome or how successful we are. We are defined finally by how well we listen to, learn from, and live as the Lord did. So come, if you are hungry and thirsty for a deeper faith, for a better life, for a fairer world. Jesus, who has sat at our table and listened to our prayers, now invites you to come to his table and to be caught up in his prayer for us. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. In your heart, God of wonder, you wrote the vision of creation, and the word shaped the mountains from that rich foam to the valleys, and your spirit breathed life into everything that sprang forth from your imagination. You welcomed into your garden all of us with hope, but we forgot your word of hospitality, too busy running to catch a glimpse of the parade of seductions of sin and death that had been brought to town. You came, and your vision was written on their hearts in the prophets. Your voice was standing behind their words that was trying to bring us back to you, but we took no delight in their invitations. And so then you sent your beloved Son, Jesus the Christ, to be the guest of sinner in every time and place, that we might receive that gift of salvation. So with reformers and saints who have gone before us, with friends and neighbors sitting around us, we lift our song of praise to you.
In your heart, forgiving God, you wrote the vision of redemption and sent Jesus, your servant of righteousness, to your people at the appointed time. When our zeal for sin consumed us, he came to feed us with the bread of life. When our souls were emptied out by the corruption of death, he came to grow abundant faith in us. When we saw only destruction on the horizon, he came to stand at his watchpost, defeating sin and death, so they could never harm us again, and inviting us to find life and peace in your heart's home for all eternity. As we remember his life, his teachings, his words, as we celebrate the good news of his resurrection, we speak of our faith, which often seems a mystery. Christ has died.
In your heart, blessed God, you wrote the vision of a community which would live out your kingdom here on earth, pouring out your spirit of life and grace upon the gifts of bread and cup and on your people gathered here for your feast. And so as we are fed by your word and your word becomes life, we ask that you give us understanding so that we can hear those who are crying out for hope. As we are nourished by your spirit, a peace may we go to all who live surrounded by oppression and bringing justice to every place where it has never prevailed. And when we are gathered in that vision of life forever, which is written in your heart, we will join our sisters and our brothers for every time and every place forever praising you. And God, we pray for all who are in need of healing and wholeness. You have heard the yearnings of our hearts, those that we have spoken, those that are on our hearts. And now in the quiet of this moment, we listen, expectant for your words and your whispers of grace. Hear now, Lord, our prayers. And in the name of the risen Christ, we pray together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
On the night of his arrest, our Lord Jesus Christ met with his disciples in an upper room to have the last meal. And Jesus took a loaf of bread. He gave thanksgiving to God for that simple, common meal. And then he broke it. And he said to his disciples, "This is my body given for you. And every time you eat it, remember me." And as they had finished, he took the cup. He gave thanksgiving to God for the fruit of the vine. And he poured and he said to his disciples, "This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins for all times." And he said to them, "Every time you drink this, remember me." And with all of the saints, all of the disciples, all peoples of all time and places, you and I gathered here today do just that. Together we eat and we drink and we remember our Lord's death until he comes again.
Thank you.
We have been fed. We have had drink. I pray that we feel nourished enough to go out into this world, that we will do justice, that we will love kindness, and that we will walk humbly with our God. May we pray together. We thank you, God, for the love that binds us together. We thank you, Spirit, for inspiring our life. We thank you, Christ, for preparing our way. All that is and ever shall be gives you thanks and praise. Amen. I invite you for just a moment where you are standing to simply close your eyes and to listen. Listen for this blessing from God.